couple of things I'll draw your attention to there in the bulletin under upcoming events and opportunities for the week. We are having children's time today, so invite the kids to come down for just a moment after the very first hymn. Also, normal schedule tonight and this week. Wednesday returns. Everything is back to normal now that spring break is over. That only means 9 weeks till summer. Yeah. Let's see, knit together today from 1:30 until 3:30. I'd love for you to be a part of that ministry. Let's see. Any others? That would be a no. Let's see. I think that's it. We want to say a special welcome to our guest this morning. We're so thankful for you being a part of worship today. We'd like to give something to you. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are, and our ushers will recognize you. They want to give you a packet. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, you'll find a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our congregation and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship this day. We are Easter people. Jesus' body is not in the grave. That is not something we just celebrate on Easter Sunday. It is the day that defines every day. So today, no matter where you are or what you're facing, we serve a God who conquered death, conquered the grave, and whose power is available to us day after day into eternity. That should give us a reason to worship with everything that we have. That's why we're here today. Will you pray with me? Father, we are so thankful for the truth of your love and the truth that Jesus rose from the grave, that he took the punishment for our sin on himself, bore it, died, rose again, and gives us the power to live eternally beside you, worshiping you. So, Father, we get a little taste this morning of what eternity is going to be like as we come to worship you with everything that we have. So be in this place, we pray. May your spirit be in charge. Hear us. See us as we worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Sits on the throne.
invite the kids. Come on down. Y'all crisscross applesauce for me. I'm going to tell you three things, and you have to tell me which you think are true and which are not true, okay? And if you get to the one that you say, I'm not so sure about that one, I want you to say, I doubt it, okay? I'm going to tell you three things, all right? Number one, my favorite color is red. Okay. All right. When I was a kid, I dressed up as Darth Vader for Halloween. Let me get to the third one. There's only one of these now. Favorite color's red. I dressed up as Darth Vader. Number three, I have a brother and a sister. Wait a minute. You can only pick one. One was not true. Two were true. Let's try it again. My favorite color is red. Yeah, it was true. Because of NC State. That's right. All right. Now, second one I said was, I dressed up as Darth Vader for Halloween. Oh, yes. Why'd you say yes, Jim Purnell? Oh, my goodness. No, I dressed up as Captain America. Okay, I did not do Darth Vader. That's right. And so I do have a brother and a sister. I do. So we don't understand the concept of this game. All right. There's a really important phrase that I got you to say. I doubt it. What does that mean? I don't know. I don't think it's true. I don't think what you're saying is true. Well, there's a really important, everybody listening, focus right here. There's a really important story Pastor Raymond is going to talk about. You know, last week we celebrated Easter and Jesus rose from the grave. Well, even just a little while later, after Jesus rose from the grave, there were some people, now especially one of his disciples named Thomas, who said, I doubt it. I'm not really sure you're telling me the truth. When the other disciples came and said, Jesus is alive, Thomas went, I don't think so. He said, until I touch the scars on his hand from where the nails pierced, and I touch his side, until I see him, I'm not going to believe it. And that's true for a lot of us, right? Unless we see something, we're not sure it's real. But Jesus said, yes, Thomas, I understand, but blessed are those who have believed and not seen. You and I, we haven't seen Jesus, but we know he exists in our hearts, right? That should cause us to change and do the right things every day. Because we know, even though we haven't seen him, even though we haven't touched the nails, we know that Jesus has come into our hearts and changed us. That's what Jesus was talking about. Peace be on us. Even though we haven't seen him, we have felt him. Let's pray together. God, thank you. Sometimes we don't always believe things that we don't see. But we know in our minds and know in our hearts that you love us. Help us to live like you love us. Help us to treat our neighbors, our friends, our teachers, our parents in a way that honors you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good job. And go back to your seat.
Today, we'll be reading from the book of Revelation. So I invite you to turn with me. You can use the Bible there in the pew if you would like. And we'll be reading from Revelation 1, 4 through 8. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Would you please join me in prayer together? Oh, Jesus Christ, we recently celebrated the fact that you are the bedrock of our lives, the bedrock of our existence. Without you, we would be lost to ourselves. We would be lost to you and forever be facing condemnation. But because, our dear Savior, you came and spilt your blood for us, we can be covered with forgiveness. We can be covered with salvation, and we thank you and we praise you. Oh, our dear Lord, our emotions are all over the place sometimes because life is not fair. We know God is good, but just life is hard, and it's just not fair often. We swing, Lord, from hope to hesitation. We move from comfort to crises. We go from enduring peace to unbelievable pain. We swing between assurance and faith and a paralyzing fear. So we pray that you would lift us out of our hesitation, that you would comfort us in our pain, that you would speak boldly to us in our fear, so that we can embrace each day with your light inside. We ask that you give us the hope, the light, the joy, the peace, totally covered by your forgiveness and renewal. We thank you, Lord, that as the trees are blooming, the flowers are beautiful, that we may be reminded that once we have eternal life, it begins in us now. It is with us now, working its way through us. Help us to stretch into that eternity and not get lost in the dailiness and the grind of life. But help us to remember we carry eternity inside of us each day. We breathe it in, we breathe it out. And that one day we'll step into glory with you. So take away that fear. Take away that dread. Take away that hesitation and give us the boldness to live each day for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's pray and give thanks. Father, we thank you for this day, a day to rest, but especially a day to worship you and give thanks. We thank you for all that we have, if for no other reason than the simple fact that by worldwide standards, we are richly blessed. We thank you for this church and the terrific team that leads it, for your holy word, for your Holy Spirit, but first and foremost, for your holy resurrected Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Have you ever had the experience of a loved one dying, and in your desperation to know for sure that you will get to see them again and to hug them again, you cry out to God and say, "Please do not let this be a cruel joke. Do not let the resurrection be a farce. I need to see them again. I want to hug them again. Please let the truth of the resurrection really be true." Have you ever experienced that? Yeah, I have too. And I've said those very words in an effort to reconcile my grief with life circumstances. And at that moment, I really wasn't doubting the promises of Christ that we would be with him for eternity. I really wasn't doubting that. You see, for me, it's never really been about doubting God. It's never been about doubting that a creator God who made all of this. I mean, look around you, look, especially in springtime, look around you. Can you really doubt that a God who created all of this has the power to resurrect his son from the dead, or us from the dead for that matter? I don't doubt that whatsoever. Generally, what I doubt is why he would. It's not could he raise his son and us from the dead. It's like, why would he do that for me? And yet, Scripture tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why? What an amazing love. So is my faith weaker today because of moments of doubt? I don't think so. I think, in matter of fact, the opposite is true. I think that my faith is stronger as a result of moments of doubt. How about you? What do you think? What's your take on it? Have you ever wrestled with God a little bit? Have you ever wrestled with God a lot? And if so, then you probably understand the scripture passage today a little bit more than other believers. Or not yet believers. See, I don't use the phrase non-believers because everybody is going to believe at some point. Scripture tells us, you know, there's a day coming when every knee will bow and every tongue will what? Confess that Jesus is Lord. It's a matter of timing. I mean, it's not a question of if it's going to happen. It's a matter of timing and whether they wait too late. But this passage of Scripture today, I think it's for us on this season following Easter. It's in John chapter 20, and it begins on verse 19, and Jeff has already referenced it. It says, on the evening of that first day of the week, and this is, understand, this is after the resurrection, the disciples are anxious. It says, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. They're freaked out. They're afraid. And he says, peace be with you. That's a good word. And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said, again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they're forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven. Now, Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked again, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand. Put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. And Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And that by believing you may have life in his name. You see, it's a good thing. It is a good thing that the early church, the early resurrection community that gathered around Jesus included people who had doubts. It really is. You see, we get the name Thomas. They zero on him, and I've heard some really sermons that were really down on Thomas. You know, I really have. And this is not one of them. Because you see, the doubt of Thomas, who is the one example that we hear about here, I think he represents a large group of people. I think even within that first century, within those first days, those first two or three weeks, I think there were probably a lot of people that had followed along Jesus who doubted, who said, I saw him. I saw him die on the cross from a distance because I was scared to get too close, but I saw him die. There's no way that he's alive. But I see because this group existed early, I think for us it makes room for us to have doubts as well. As life progresses, we have doubts too. Thankfully, Jesus did not turn away from Thomas. Nor does Jesus turn away from us when we're filled with doubt. I think he honors those who struggle with a different kind of understanding of who he is and who he is to us, both personally as well as a body of believers. There's There's a good little book. It's written by Thomas Long. And the title of the book is, What Shall We Say? It's subtitled, Evil, Suffering, and the Crisis of Faith. And in that book, Thomas says, it's interesting, his name is Thomas too. He says, doubt is the natural, often helpful, first response to tragedy and evil. It's not the last response, not the only thing we have to say, but if we don't make room for our doubt, it's unlikely that we can come to believe or share our faith with authenticity. I like that comment. Honestly, I like it because I'm kind of living in it right now. What does it mean to be authentic even in those painful, desperate times? You see, real doubt often grows in dark experience. Within the life of the church, it grows too. Why is that? Well, what is the church made of? It's people. The church is the people. It's not the building. It's the people. So church is people, and church involves people and faith. So doubts can even include the reality and the power of the resurrection. We can doubt it. You know, it's something we need to work through. It's something we need resolution on. You see, doubt at the very heart of it is a question of the reliability of the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do we really believe what he said? Do we really believe the witnesses, the accounts following? Even though we just celebrated Easter last week, do we believe this account as it's recorded in Scripture? I do. I certainly do. But sometimes even as we doubt, it kind of helps us identify with Thomas. It kind of helps us to identify with those who struggle with who Jesus is personally. Not intellectually, but who Jesus is personally in their lives. You see, Thomas followed Jesus. He was right there. He was right there. He had given himself to the Lord's mission. There's no doubt about that. And Thomas was fully aware of the cost of that mission. If you don't believe that, go back and read in chapter 11 of the Gospel of John. Go back and read it. Jesus is making plans to go to Bethany. The disciples knew that probably wasn't a good plan because they knew where it was going from there. You know, Lazarus had died and been resurrected there, and they knew kind of probably what was going after that. And as Jesus announced that, Thomas said to the other disciples, he looks at them and he said, "Let us go also that we may die with him." So he got it. He understood. He was aware of the risk associated with being a disciple of Jesus. That was never the question. That was never the issue. And see, while we don't know whether Thomas, we don't know where he was on that first appearance. It's interesting, John doesn't tell us where he was. He just said he wasn't there. We don't know where he was on that first evening where they gathered behind the locked doors because they were afraid of what was the Jews were going to come to get them. We don't know where Thomas was. But we do know that he probably knew the results of the crucifixion. He knew what had happened. And he probably concluded, well, that's it. I was so closely associated with him, sooner or later they're going to come for me. He probably figured his life was done. Just like Jesus has been killed, he was going to be killed. Jesus was dead, so he thought, so I guess I'm next. So he was filled with grief and pain. Probably a little fear too. But I suspect based on his answer, it was more about the grief and the pain of losing a relationship. You know, he wasn't focused on Christology or eschatology or eternal security or any of the theological, but he was missing a dear friend. And the grief and the pain was overwhelming. I can relate to that. So when the other disciples reported to him that Jesus was alive, that they'd seen him with their own eyes, I don't think so. No. Until I see the nails, the holes in his hand from the nails, until I see that, until I put my finger in those places and I stick my hand in his side, he said, I don't believe it. I'm not going to believe it until I do that. And so based on what Thomas knew, based on his experience at that point in his life of grief and loss and doubt, doubt was probably the most pressing reality in his faith experience, based on where he was at that point. And yet, even though Thomas had a heavy dose of doubt mixed in with his faith, Jesus does not reject him and does not cut him off. In fact, Jesus does just the opposite. 8 days later, when the disciples were together and Thomas was also with them, Jesus came through locked doors again. First thing he said is, peace. Shalom. Probably thinking, hey guys, why are the doors locked again? You know, I thought we kind of covered that last week. But they're there, the doors are locked, and Thomas was with them. He expresses peace, and then he moves toward Thomas. Jesus was meeting Thomas right where he was, and he is inviting him. He says, go ahead. Go ahead. Don't doubt, but believe. Now, Jesus is not scolding. He's teaching. Just as he had done for 3 years prior. He's teaching. He's loving. He's encouraging. You see, Jesus' mission is a mission of moving toward us. Toward the world that God loved. Toward the world that God loved so much that he sent his son in order to redeem and to restore. You see, the mission of our Lord is kind of coming full circle here in this encounter with Thomas. Because we're going from the incarnation, the Word becoming flesh, to the crucifixion and the resurrection. You've got the bodily resurrection of Jesus, who was the incarnate Word of God, incorporating all of creation in God's redeeming mission, including Thomas, and including us. God in Jesus knew Thomas's darkness and doubt. God in Jesus knows our darkness and our doubt from within. So when Jesus arrives and he invites Thomas to touch his wounds, Jesus confirms for Thomas, and he confirms not only for Thomas, but he confirms to all of us that the life-changing resurrection drew up the wounds and the weariness that Thomas, as well as us, all of us, all people, carry. It's an incredibly powerful teaching moment, not just for Thomas, but for us. And that's what Thomas found out when Jesus entered that locked room. Thomas could have already concluded in his own mind that because he was struggling with his faith, because of that, and because of his distance, because he wasn't there the first meeting, because of all of this, because of all of his doubt, he probably had concluded that that was going to keep him outside of the resurrection community. That they were going to lock him out, literally. That Jesus would exclude him. That would exclude him from the body of Christ. That's probably what Thomas was thinking, or perhaps what he was thinking. But that's not what happened. You know, Jesus' words, Jesus' blessing of peace communicated quite the contrary of his doubts and fears. You see, if the end point of our doubt leaves us stronger in our faith instead of weaker, then the nature of the resurrection, The very nature of the resurrection has been demonstrated and glorified in our own lives and in our own faith journey. And that leaves us in a place of stronger faith. Because Jesus is not detached, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, He is always moving toward us, overcoming the distance, overcoming the doubts, restoring us, fulfilling the relationship that we were created for. A relationship with our God through Jesus Christ, His Son. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank You. We thank You that through the story that we have recorded of Your encounter through Your Son to Thomas and to all those who doubted just as He did, just as we do, that You make Yourself more real as a result of our struggles and as a result of our fears and our doubts and our frustration, our anger and our grief, that You make Yourself more real to us. And as such, You make us more real to those who are watching us. God, we pray that we would be faithful witnesses, that we would be faithful, even in our doubts, to continue to search and to seek You, even as You are closing the gap and reaching out to us. Thank You for Your love that conquers all. Thank You for Your forgiveness that overcomes all. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you do not have that relationship, that groundwork, that foundation, if you do not have that foundational relationship with Jesus Christ, that's the starting point. I pray that you have felt God's leadership this morning in our service, and I pray that you would seek a relationship with Christ. You can certainly pray where you are. I'll be glad to speak with you here. The altar will be open here. It will give you an opportunity to understand who Jesus Christ truly is and that He desires a personal relationship with you. Not just an intellectual one, but a personal relationship with you. If you're here and you say, well, I am a believer, but I'm struggling right now too, welcome. Welcome to the club. Welcome to the body of Christ. We all struggle. But God wants you to know this morning that He honors that struggle and He wants to heal you from your pain and from your grief. Let Him do that. As we stand and sing, let Him do that. Allow Him to touch you at the point of your pain and your grief and your struggle and your fear, and let Him heal you. If you're here and you'd like to be a part of this congregation on a, quote, official basis, there are a lot of ways we receive members. I'll be glad to share that with you. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. following the benediction and response, I invite you, encourage one another, greet one another, greet those who are our guests. Be sure and make them feel welcome. But as you leave from this place, go knowing that you have the love and the encouragement not only of the Heavenly Father, but one another. That's wonderfully important, isn't it? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the peace that passes all understanding. Father, for the love and the encouragement that we draw from being together to worship you, to recognize you as the giver of all good things. We thank you for the gift of life that you give us. We thank you for the gift of life eternal that you give us through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.